or someone. Affirmation is something incredible that should happen in every person's life. Barbara and I want to make sure that we affirm Isaiah. Every morning on the way to school, and Isaiah and Shaylin, we pray, and when we get finished, we put our hand in the pile, and they know, one, two, three, be a leader. They say it soft, you know, they're kids in the morning, I don't want to go to school and all that stuff. Be a leader. I said, no, say it. Be a leader, because you get in trouble, it's because you got in trouble. It ain't because you followed somebody else over a cliff, because you decided to jump over the cliff. We are leaders, and I affirm that in them. I want him to know he's handsome. I want him to know that he's smart. I don't care what he makes on that. The reason why I can correct him when he makes a bad grade is because that's not who you are. And you can learn it. You can do this. And your affirmation is important in life. I want BFF to be a house of affirmation. When I love sports. I love watching sports. I love basketball in particular. And I love when there's an alley-oop thrown or somebody throws an incredible dunk down. And just I love seeing people hype the crowd up, get them going. When a team is down and the crowd senses they need a shift in momentum, I love seeing the crowd when they get up clapping and they shift the momentum that way. You can shift the momentum wherever you go. When we're praising and worshiping, listen, if the world can, people can just do whatever they do in terms of a club setting, how much us in the house of God? When you come in here, I want us to affirm God. A minute ago, when we were praising God and you had that feeling that it's all right now, that's affirming God. That's pulling something from God. That's telling God how much you mean to him. Can I ask you a question? If your praise represented God's value to you, what would he think about your what you mean to him? If your praise said, okay, God, here's my value to you. No, that doesn't mean much. But when I can just lose it and say, God, I bless you and I thank you. I used to be one of those people that was afraid to praise God because I was afraid of what you were going to think of me. Then I thought about it. You don't know like I know what God has done for me. You don't know what he's forgiven me of. You don't know what he's done for me. You don't know what he's blessed me with. You don't know what my insecurities and struggles are, and God still blesses me anyway. So later for what you think of me, God, I bless you for who you are. I want BFF to be a house of praise and affirmation. And I also want you to talk back to the preacher. If I'm preaching, whoever's preaching. I love going to them churches when they say a word, sir. I like when they talk back to the preacher. If I say something y'all like, y'all say amen. If I'm struggling, y'all say amen. It'll make me do better. Can y'all do that? Can I get the wives to say, hey? Hey. Yeah. You like it if your husband compliments you. If he don't do nothing but walk around and say, you bad and bougie, ain't it? Like, you like it. You like that. That you may not like the bad and bougie part, but you know, you like affirmation that does something to you. Barbara can say, oh, that shirt so look good on me. I know my stomach's sticking out. I suck that stomach in. Yes, it do, don't it? It does something to you. Affirmation works. And here's my whole big idea today. Unaffirmed people misuse and abuse the power they are given. If a person is not affirmed, and you give them power, they'll abuse it. If ain't nothing but a set of keys, they'll walk around and lock everybody out just because they can. Just jangling keys. When people, the power gets in the wrong hands, that's when challenges happen. When power gets in the wrong hands, whether it be an authority, whether it be an official who leads something, whether it be a civic leader, whether it be a police or whoever else, a person who is in any seat of authority has to be affirmed. Because if not, you will make that a power about you and not about what you're supposed to do. The thing about this, affirmed people change the world with the power they're given. Why did God give you that personality? Why did God give you the strength he's given you? Why did God bless you with what he's given you? Not to manipulate people, but to do great things. The scripture I want to use today, and it's going to be on the screen. I want you guys to turn there in your Bibles, Matthew 3, 16 and 17. Matthew 3, 16 and 17. This scripture is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Jesus started off his ministry by getting baptized by John the Baptist. All right? So now, after Jesus died on the cross, we now get baptized as a result of what Jesus did as a response to salvation. I think every person ought to be baptized. Baptism is a symbol of something that happened on the inside of you. You get saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2, through what Jesus did. But I believe after you get baptized, you ought to go down in the water. Baptism is to salvation what a wedding ceremony is to a marriage. It's letting the world know whose you are. And I believe that you ought to publicly declare. I want to challenge you in here. If you've never been baptized, we'd love to baptize you here. If you got baptized when you were 6 or 7 and you really didn't know what you were doing and you just did it because mama said do it, I want to challenge you under your own choice, under your own cognition, that say, hey, I want to be baptized to show the world that I am saved through Jesus Christ. Yeah. That makes sense in here? Amen. After Jesus was baptized, I want to speak on what God did for him that was important. He said these words, and I'm going to read. He said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." God affirmed Jesus. Here's the reason why. If you want to know Bible history, the Jews were looking for the Messiah, and they didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They were still, matter of fact, they're still looking. Many of them are. But God wanted to say, "This is the man. This is the Messiah. I'm well pleased in him." I believe every person ought to have the stamp of approval from God, but you ought to have somebody else who can speak into your life as to who you are. I believe it is the challenge of it to every mother and father. I don't even care if you are together, to speak into that child. Tell that child, the very first person that ought to tell a young lady how beautiful she is. It's not some joker trying to run game on her from the street, but it ought to be a father and a mother to tell that girl her worth, tell that young man his worth, and you don't have to sell yourself short. I know you have lonely moments. I know you have insecure moments, but don't let nobody run game on you because you are valuable. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, you is kind, you is smart, and you is important." Let's read this scripture right here. Some of you can't say that. You want to say, "You is mean, you is rude, and you is not anointed." Matthew 3:16 says this. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, notice he came up immediately. They ain't hold him till the bubble stop. They pulled Jesus up. "You scared about getting baptized? I'm scared of water. We're going to take you right down. We're going to bring you right back up. You all right?" And behold, the heavens opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. I know some of you see these pictures where you see a dove flying from heaven. The Bible says as. It's a simile. A dove may not have actually flown down, but it said as a dove gracefully flies down. And something lit up around him. And this is the voice said, verse 17. "Behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased.'" I'm going to give you some principles of affirmation. Affirmation level number one is security. Notice the scripture says, "This is my beloved son." My is a security term. When I go to the basketball games and I watch those guys play, they give me at MTSU, they give me a tag. And they say, "Sit anywhere you want to sit." So I walk in there and I sit wherever I want to sit. The only challenge is that's not my seat. So if somebody has bought that reserved seat, the whole game my head is on a swivel because I may have to get up at any moment. Went to the football game last night and I had assigned tickets. So guess what? I sit there the whole time. I saw people coming up looking at their ticket. I wasn't nervous about moving. I ate my sausage with jalapeno fried chips and mustard. Isaiah had his popcorn dipping dots, and we split a large Dr. Pepper. Why? And I was secure the whole game because that's my seat. Do you know why many of us are not secure in life? Because you don't know what seat is yours. You're constantly wondering, is somebody going to come take my place? I think that's why people are insecure in relationships. You're not sure that that's your wife. You're not sure that their heart is all the way with you. You're not sure that that's your job. So when somebody else smart comes along, you feel threatened by their intelligence instead of saying, "This is my seat. Let's partner together while you sit in your seat." Ask your neighbor, "Do you know what your seat is?" Security is this. It's accepting. It's God's acceptance on my life. I belong to God. And I am accepted by God. Because whether we admit it or not, every person in this room wants to be accepted. From the 12-year-old teenage girl who wants to know, "Am I accepted?" To the 20-year-old college student who wants to know, "Am I accepted?" To the 50-year-old married man that wants to know from his family, "Am I accepted?" Here's the thing about God. He claims me and lets me know that I'm good because he's responsible for me. When you are responsible for something, something changes in you. Anybody remember the first time you held your child for the first time? Anybody remember that feeling? You remember that feeling that came over you like, "Man, we're going to conquer the world." You said, I know I got stuff going on. It made you grow up. You can have all these immature moments, but something stood up inside of you because you were responsible for it. Do you not know that God is responsible for you? And that everywhere you go, you are a direct reflection of him. When Isaiah goes anywhere, I said, "Boy, don't you cut up for wherever you go." I said, "You representing me. Don't you cut up. You act like you got some home." And that's what God is saying. He said, I'm responsible for you. Then when you go, I have trained you to be what you are called to be. Here's the thing about this. We're wired for affirmation. We just got to know where to get it and how to get it. Because here's the truth. Many of us are vulnerable if our affirmation tank is low. People with negative agendas, players, or whatever you want to call them, will see somebody who has not been affirmed. And their way to get what they want from you is to affirm you. tell you how good you are. What they may say may sound good, but they mean you no good. But if your affirmation tank is low, you are vulnerable for somebody to come in. Y'all look at me. Am I already here? I think every married couple ought to be able to say to the other married couple, I'm not feeling real affirmed right now. And don't you worry about who you're looking at, who talking to you, who's saying, you ain't got to worry about all that. You ought to be able to say, my affirmation tank is low, and I need you to affirm me. Why? Because I want it from you and no one else. I thought I'd get about 10 amens right there. Am I telling the truth in here? I think every parent ought to get that affirmation. Every child ought to get the affirmation from their parents, because that brings security that after all these years, after all these children, after all these bills we done paid, you still think I'm sexy. Oh, come on, y'all smile, say something. Children ought to know that after all the dumb stuff they done took your car and stayed out all night, they done lied to you and did all this stuff, all they really want to know is, do you still love me? I know you want to punch me in my mouth. I know you want to leave me outside, but do you love me? Am I telling the truth in here? We're looking for that acceptance, because here's what happens. If you have misplaced affirmation, you'll never be fulfilled. I believe that sometimes parents get the married people get the affirmation from their children they're supposed to get from their spouse. And I think sometimes people get affirmation from their job they're supposed to get at home. You got to make sure you get it from the right place, because we all need to be needed. So God says you are accepted by me. That's level number one. Level number two is this, maturity, is identity. He said, this is my beloved son. He told him who he was. God invested himself in you and your life to train your identity. Your identity is trained this way. It's telling you who you are, what you can do, and this is how you do it. God wants you to be competent in who he's called you to be. For myself, I grew up, I don't know if many of you guys grew up like this, I grew up in Pentecostal circle where we'd have people who came in with prophetic gifts, and they would call us up to the altar, and they'd speak. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And they say, oh, come up here, and they pray over your life. Am I going to be a millionaire by the end of the week? You want somebody to call people's names, and you ought to know your name. People just going crazy. Your name is Jason. You're following out. You ought to know your name. And they just, no, never mind. But anyway, they called all the preachers up at our church. And I went to school with Shatiqua, sitting on the front row. We went to school together in Chattanooga, and this lady came in. She had a prophetic gift. She called all the preachers up, and she was praying for them. God going to use you in a mighty way. She was praying over this one, and she got to me and said, the Lord said, you are a phenomenal teacher. I said, No, people don't like teachers. When I grew up, the teachers taught on Sunday night, on either Tuesday night when nobody came to church. You put the teacher up, just said, Lord bless him. I mean, they ain't think much about teachers, because people don't come to church to learn, right? You just come to church to be emotional, to get excited. You don't come to church to deal with your problems. You just want to shout over your problems. Then I found out I was a teacher. And she prayed over everybody else. When they prayed over them, they were shouting, thank you, Jesus. I said, sit down. Call me no teacher. I want to hoop and throw towels in the air. I want folks to spin in circles and, you know, all that stuff like that. And she said, you are a teacher. And I'm up there hooping and can't breathe and red. Years later, my pastor in Nashville, whose church I came out of, Pastor Dale Jones, and a guy named James Daughtry, they spoke something over my life that changed my life. They said, Jason, you are a teacher. They said, have you ever noticed you tell so many stories when you preach and you connect it with real life stuff? They said, what do people normally do when you teach? I said, they laugh and they take notes. And they said, that's what teachers do. They said, you're trying to be somebody that you're not. They said, when does God speak to you? When you land for hours on your face and when you're sitting up there fasting in the room by yourself? I said, no, I just fall asleep. I feel bad, and preacher said, I spent 4 hours with God. I'm like, man, I tried, but I spent four, but three of them was asleep, and one of them, I was just sitting there looking. I didn't make them other three. They said, when did God speak to you? I said, when I'm out walking, when I'm talking to people. They said, that's it. They said, that's how God speaks to you. That's what you do. That's a teacher. That's who you are. They said, how many times when people come after you preach and say, I feel like you've been in my house all week long? I said, they say that all the time. They said, that's your goal. Deacon Hale, can you hit that button in the back? Watch this. Off, hit it. On. When you find your identity and purpose, you're not trying to be successful. Your purpose works just like that. Off, on. Now, because I know who I am, everywhere I go, I am just me. I'm not trying to be anybody else. I have discovered what God has called me to be. Matter of fact, last Friday, I went and spoke to Siegel High School, and they played Riverdale, and I tried to give my best pep talk. They lost, and I gave my best talk. Watch this. They did. Y'all, Dre, Jerry, I don't know. I tried to pump them up. They came. They were excited. They gave me about 10 claps when I got through. Guess what their coach said when I got finished? He shook my hand and said, I feel like you've been in my practice all week long. I have discovered my gift. When you discover your gift, Nick, you can be you wherever you go. If you're in Memphis, you're in Alabama, or you here in Murfreesboro, at MTSU, you're the same you. You have to discover what God has called you to be. Be that and let somebody help shape you to be you. Because here's the challenge we have. We live in the dream, goal, I seek, I'm going to conquer the world era. And everybody has all these big goals, but not everybody has been mentored and trained. You are capped if nobody is speaking into your life. People say, hey, I ain't having I'm self-taught. I'm trained by the street. I was like, how's that working for you? You are capped because you don't know what you don't know. You need somebody who's going to help push you to the next level in life. And you need somebody that you're pushing to the next level in life. We all have to constantly have somebody pushing us to the next level. One of the scariest places to be is when nobody can tell you anything. Because when you will not learn the lesson somebody's teaching you, failure will be your teacher. You have to learn the hard way. That makes sense in here? So you have to be challenged. And you have to be affirmed so that you can get the best out of you. That's why Satan is making so many people anti-leadership, anti-authority, anti-mentorship. You got walls up where nobody can really challenge you. Somebody coaches you and you shut down. What you trying to say? I'm stupid. What you trying to say? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I see more inside of you. And if you will let somebody challenge you, if you will let somebody speak into your life, your real identity will begin to show up. Because here's the challenge. Passionate and ignorant is a bad combination. You got a whole lot of folk passionate about stuff and just as ignorant as they want to be and just going about it, doing it. I'm called of this. I'm going to do great things, but ignorance will cause you to have unnecessary failure. And God is, I learned this the hard way. I'm just the reason I'm telling you this. God has always placed somebody in your life so you can be passionate as well as ignorant. It's be intelligent and you don't have to be ignorant. Am I making sense in here? The next thing is this, and I'm through. So you need the acceptance of God that comes from security. You need the competence from God that comes from your identity. And the last thing is this, you need authority. It said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. That's affirmation level number 3. God is pleased with me. Look at your neighbor and say, God is pleased with me. Tell him, you may not like me, but God is pleased with me. God is pleased in what he put inside of you. He's pleased in what he created you to be. God is saying, you're my son. If we could make that a literal translation, God's saying, you're my accountant. You're my basketball player. You're my welder. You are my administrative assistant. You are my attorney. You are my musician. I am pleased in what I created you to be, and I want to establish the real look of what you're called to be in the earth. I believe that God wants real manhood in the earth, so he's doing it through somebody like me and all of the people in this room who are men. I believe that God wants to establish what motherhood, as well as being a professional and an entrepreneur, looks like, so there's no fake versions of a real thing in the earth. It's a shame to die an original, to be born an original and die a copy. You don't have to be a duplicate of nobody in this world. God wants you to be authentic. He wants you to be real and not a fake copy of an authentic original. You know I like to give out stuff. Does anybody like a Dolce & Gabbana light blue? Anybody wear that in here? Miss Tammy, you like that? Can I help you out with Dolce & Gabbana light blue? Would you like this? All right, this ain't really Dolce & Gabbana. This is really, this is Percy and LaWanda. I couldn't find Dolce & Gabbana, so Percy and LaWanda showed up. Do you know you were real hype. You just didn't pass it around and gave it to somebody else. Hey, you ain't had this. It ought to be back there by the time we get through. Y'all see this mess? You know that's what happens, right? Y'all laughing. But somebody's expecting the real you to show up, and a fake version of who you are shows up. The bitter you, the hurt you, the weak you, the questioning you shows up, and you show up trying to be somebody else. You can't be nobody but you. And when God wants the real you to show up, flaws and all, God says, I'm going to put authority in who you are, because a fake has no authority. It can duplicate all day long, but there is no authority if it's not from the original. You are an original, and you should show up every day of your life. Oh, yeah. Mistakes and all, flaws and all, but the real authority comes when you accept who God created you to be and know that God is pleased with you. Somebody say, God is pleased with me. Somebody said it again. God is pleased with me. And when you show up with that authority, and I'm not fake, I'm original, I can begin to speak with authority into the atmosphere. I can, the real Dolce and Gabbana, not Percy and LaWanda, but the real Dolce and Gabbana. If you were to spray that in the room, you would set the tone, right? And you could, yeah, go into the right room. No, go into, I love Victor Roth Flower Bomb, but for men. And when I spray it, Barbara can be all the way across the house. But she'll put a V-line and find me, because it sets the atmosphere. When you are the authentic you, wherever you go, you spray the aroma of who you are wherever you go. It's called speaking with authority. It's called looking at yourself in the mirror and say, I am who God says I am. And if I am who God says I am, I can be what God says I can be. I can do what God says I can do. I don't care what's happened in my life. I've been lied on. I've been betrayed. All these things have happened, but I am still who God says I am. Is there anybody in here who said, I finally accepted who God created me to be? I can't be nobody else. I understand that God made me the way I ought to be. You ought to wake up in the morning and look yourself in the mirror and say, God, you did a wonderful thing when you made me. I'm a one of a kind. I'm not a cheap copy. When you made me, you broke the mold, and I'm going to do incredible things for you. Why? Because I have authority in my words. And when you begin to speak those great things over yourself, instead of saying, I'm stupid, I can't get it right, why does bad stuff always happen to me? You begin to spray the aroma of who you are. Go to work tomorrow and say, the real me is showing up. Go home today and set the aroma of what it should be in your life by you showing up. Don't you succumb to the pressure of being what somebody else wants you to be. I am what God says I am in the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet all over the building. Made some mistakes, but I'm still who God says I am. Anybody been broken in here, but you're still who God says you are? Can I speak to your confidence? God is looking for the day where you show up. Not looking for somebody to co-sign for you. And if you like it, wear it. Is this modest and presentable? Allow yourself to be trained. Here's the challenge. Many of us have been hurt. And it's hard for you to become you, because the minute someone speaks something you don't like, you shut down. But God said, I want to heal that part of you. I want to affirm you. I want to show you who I called you to be. God wants Dolce and Gabbana to show up, not Percy and LaWanda. God wants you to show up, not the broken you, not the bitter you, not the questioning you, not the you that's just wondering. No, who are you? God wants you to discover who you are. Deacon, can you hit that light again? And on purpose. Off. On. I'm not trying to be successful. I am successful. And because I know my purpose, everywhere I go, I can transform the environment. And I can work with other people. In Jesus' name. You bow your head.